The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the April 2025 issue of Scout Life. And we're going to go to Scout Life headliners, and we're going to go to the bottom of page 8. Improving the world. First Class Scout founds nonprofit. Linda Piston, age 12. Hometown, Gainesville, Virginia. Scout rank, First Class Scout, Troop 1182, Manassas, Virginia. Linda made headlines for founding a nonprofit, Linda's Lab, with the goals of improving science, education, and ending world hunger. The scoop. Linda partnered with a local chef to produce mealworm protein bars made from her organic mealworm farm. Linda's lab includes a science outreach program that lends mealworm science experiment kits to classrooms. Linda is the author of Linda and the Mysterious Footprints, a children's book that teaches the scientific method, environmental stewardship, and the value of community service. She also earned the Scouting America Heroism Award for her role in saving a young girl from drowning, which was featured in Scouts in Action in last month's Scout Life. Now let's go to page 2. Hear a little bit from Erie on the Prairie. I'm in a girls' troop with 3 of my really good friends, and a couple others I don't know as well, but I still consider them friends. This is my 6th year of summer camp, not including when I joined as a sibling. I really enjoy Scouts. I got involved because of my brother. He's an Eagle Scout now, and I look up to him, and I hope I can be an Eagle Scout soon. Anyway, I love camp at MVSR. It's the highlight of my summer. It's for my Lee L. in Cushcockton, Ohio. I looked it up! And MVSR is Muskegon Valley Scout Reservation. And my Lee is right. It looks very cool. It's that time of year when you might want to start preparing to have a blast at Scout Summer Camp. Whether that's building stamina for hikes or making gear lists so you don't forget anything. Which reminds me, I need pest control. No, I'm not an actual scout. But do I stop by as many camps as possible to gobble everything bug I see? 100%. It's a service that requires lots of practice. So I'm off to the office garden again. And in case I can't make it to your camp, see page 14 and how to deal with pests yourself without eating them. Talk to you in the May issue. What? Ride on a boat underground. This troop explores a cavern that's home to the largest underground lake in North America. Troop 11 of Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, sets up their sleeping area on tarps inside of Craighead Caverns. Decades ago, this large room hosted dances. Below, Leland Graham makes his way through the clay-covered passages. Peering into deep, milky blue water, scouts spotted something they didn't expect to see. Rainbow trout. You wouldn't think it would be all that surprising to notice fish in a lake. However, this lake is 140 feet below ground. Last May, Troop 11 of Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, spent a weekend exploring the Lost Sea, a 4.5-acre lake within the Craighead Caverns in eastern Tennessee. Not only did the guys ride in a tour boat across the underground lake, but they also crawled through muddy passages and spent a night in the cave. You can't really improve on this too much, It was a great outing, says Eagle Scout Cameron Thompson, age 17. Sea tails. Water is below your feet practically everywhere around Earth. It's what we often tap into to get water for drinking or irrigating crops. What's rare about the Lost Sea is that groundwater doesn't usually pull together in such a large area. The lake is so big, experts aren't exactly sure where it ends. It's the second largest underground lake in the world, only behind the Dragon's Breath Cave in the African country Namibia, which measures slightly bigger at almost 5 acres. 111 wanted to check out this natural marvel, so they booked an overnight experience at the Tennessee Caverns. It was the first time some of the guys had been spelunking, caving. When they arrived, the scouts first learned about the history of the Craighead Caverns. They were once used as a meeting place for Cherokee tribes. During the Civil War, Confederate soldiers mined it for saltpeter, a material needed to make gunpowder. We learned what it was like down in a cave, says Asa Beckert, 11, a scout. There were burn marks written by soldiers on cave walls. In 1905, a 13-year-old boy discovered the Lost Sea. Over the years, the caverns were developed into an adventurous destination with boats, walking paths, and tours of undeveloped parts of the cave. Getting dirty. After carrying their gear to where they would sleep for the night, the guys loaded onto a metal flat-bottom boat for a brief trip on the water. They watched the rainbow trout swim around the 70-foot-deep lake. The fish were introduced to the Lost Sea decades ago in hopes they would show the previous owner if there was a passage out of the cave. Instead, the fish stayed. They try to nibble at anything that touches the water, says 17-year-old Eagle Scout Leland Graham. Then it was on to a main tour of the cavern before the guys turned on their headlamp for the wild cave tour. This guided two-hour excursion called on them to straddle rocks, slide down clay-covered floors, and crawl through narrow passages. I felt kind of scared about the crawls, but then I realized they weren't as tight as I thought they were, says Will Tart, 12, a first-class scout. I had totally green pants. After spelunking, they were clay orange. Having their headlamps taped to their helmets helped make sure the guys had a light where they needed it. Once your fingers were covered with mud, it was hard to press the headlamps buttons because it was so slippery, says 14-year-old Star Scout Ethan Cantala. It's important to see where to go, but the light brightened fascinating cave formations as well, like Anahatites, also known as the cave flowers. These intricate straw-like structures take thousands of years just to grow an inch. In the dark. The scouts cleaned up, bagged their muddy clothes, and got ready for bed inside a cave. But first, they played a fun card game called Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza. When it was time for lights out, the guys' senses heightened, and it was tough going to sleep for many of them. Once all the noise goes away, it's eerily silent, Leland says. Your ears aren't picking up any audio. There's no sound of anything. After a while, the adults started snoring. I think I was one of the lucky few that fell asleep before the assistant scoutmaster started snoring, Cameron says. It wasn't the best night of sleep I've ever had because it was on rock surface, but it wasn't too bad. Lying on rock isn't comfy, but the temperature inside the cave felt nice at 58 degrees. The climate in cave doesn't change as dramatically as it does at the surface. We had sleeping bags that could withstand 30-degree weather, Asa says. I slept with a sweatshirt and a beanie, so I was fine. Super spelunking. The troop emerged in the morning, greeted by the warmth of the sun. The most rewarding part was seeing the sun after 12 hours in the cave, Will says. After a game of frisbee in the parking lot, the guys loaded up for the long ride back home. It was a fun trip. The scouts learned a lot about caves, history, and themselves. I learned that I do like the crawls, Ethan says. I'm not claustrophobic. I want to go caving more. Here's some captions next to the pictures on the top right of page 13. Right before bed, the scouts enjoy a game of taco cat goat cheese pizza. Below, from left, Ethan Cantala, Asher Beckett, and Will Granada hike to the cave. In the middle of page 13, Cameron Thompson leads the way one-on-one of the first crawls. Below, Will Tart and Remy Marvel scooch under a low ceiling. And on the bottom of page 13, left, the guys pose for a photo after the Wind Cave tour. On the right, Ethan Cantala crawls through a tight passage. Hope you enjoyed yourselves, guys. Bug off! Page 14. Use this gear to send irritating insects packing. Bug bites are no fun. They can itch or hurt, and some can make you sick. Bug spray can help, but you have to reapply it often, especially if you're sweating or doing an activity where it might wash off. Another effective way to keep biting bugs away is with insect-repellent clothing. Most anti-bug clothing is infused with permethrin, a synthetic version of a natural repellent found in chrysanthemum plants. It has been EPA registered since 1979 and is approved for use by the whole family with no restriction. Permethrin works by disrupting bugs' nervous systems, causing them to leave before biting you. Wear a permethrin-threatened buff, hat, or shirt, and mainly bugs should buzz off. It's always best to also wear bug spray on any exposed skin. However, permethrin should be applied only to clothing. Never apply to your skin. Instead, use a spray containing DEET or picaridin. DEET sprays should register at a 20% to 30% concentration and picaridin at a 20% concentration. Wearing permethrin-treated clothing along with DEET or picaridin spray for your skin should give you near complete protection. Wearable gear. Sawyer offers a permethrin-based premium insect repellent. For a 12-ounce bottle at the Scout Shop that you can use at home to treat your shoes, backpacks, tents, and clothing. When applied properly, it can be effective against mosquitoes and ticks for 6 weeks or six washes. Royal Robbins is launching a collection of shirts and pants this spring that features mosquito protection technology, a tightly woven fabric that helps to prevent mosquito bites. This innovative, chemical-free cell solution offers a long-lasting alternative to permethrin-treated materials. Insect Shield is a brand that works with companies like Lee Jeans and Columbia Sportswear to pre-treat clothing in the factory. When a company applies the insect repellent as a part of the manufacturing process, it lasts for up to 70 washes. But that's not the only way to insect-proof your clothes. Insect Shield will treat clothing you like you already own. Order a mailer from them and for a flat rate of $120, they'll treat everything you send them in a bag. They also sell Insect Shield permethrin to repel mosquitoes, ticks, fleas, flies, chiggers, and spiders. Here at the bottom of the page 15, keep ticks off. Investing in insect-repelling socks or treating your socks with permethrin is a good way to protect yourself from ticks, some of which can carry Lyme disease. Have an adult apply permethrin to your clothing, but not while you're wearing it, in an open, well-ventilated area away from water sources and pets, as directed by the manufacturer. The clothing must completely dry before you touch it. How about Don't Bug Me on page 18 and 19? As prepared for biting and stinging insects. Are you ready to deal with biting and stinging bugs you might encounter on a hike, at camp, or just when you're outside? Here's info about some of them, including how to avoid them. Ticks and chiggers. What are they? Ticks aren't technically insects. They are arachnids, like spiders. They feed on blood, usually over hours to days. No matter what you've heard, ticks don't fly or drop from trees onto you. Most sit patiently on a plant, waiting for their next meal to walk close enough to latch onto. Chiggers are mites that are closely related to ticks. What to do? Some ticks cause serious disease like Rocky Mountain spotted fever or Lyme disease. Walk in the middle of trails, since ticks are more likely to be in the dense vegetation alongside them. Tuck your pants into your socks and frequently check yourself for ticks. If you find one, but don't twist, jerk, burn, or smother it. Instead, grab it with tweezers as close to its head as possible and steadily pull upward. Wash the bite area with soap and water, and then apply antibiotic cream on an ice pack. Seek medical help if you become ill. As with mosquitoes, certain repellents are effective in keeping ticks away. Repellents can also be effective with chiggers. They tend to bite in areas where clothing is tight against the skin. These very small bugs are usually long gone by the time you start itching. Mosquitoes. What are they? These insects are a type of blood-feeding fly, although it's not well understood why certain people get bitten more than others. It likely has to do with factors like diet, genetics, and the chemicals your body naturally releases. What to do? Not only do their bites itch, but some mosquitoes can also spread disease, like the West Nile and Zika viruses. Mosquitoes need standing water to complete their life cycle. If you've ever seen worm-like creatures wiggling around in a birdbath or bucket of water, they were likely immature mosquitoes. Dumping this water is the best way to fight mosquitoes. To protect yourself from bites, wear pants and long sleeves, and use a repellent containing DEET at 20% to 30% concentration, or picaridin, 20% concentration. See page 14 for entire info on repellent-treated clothing. Centipedes and millipedes. What are they? Centipedes and millipedes are related to insects and arachnids. You can easily tell centipedes, which might bite, from millipedes, which won't, by their legs. Centipedes have one pair segment, and millipedes have two pairs segments. Millipedes don't sting, but the first pair of legs on a centipede can inject venom, causing painful sting. What to do? Although this venom is not considered very dangerous, it's best not to touch centipedes. If you're camping in an area with them, keep your tent closed. Shake out your boots in water, and then apply antibiotic cream and an ice pack. Seek medical attention if you have an allergic reaction. Wasps, bees, hornets, yellow jackets. What are they? Most flying insects that sting live in nests that can be hidden in a log, in a bush, underground, or even high in a tree. They tend to be very defensive of their nests and are willing to sting to protect their homes. What to do? Stings can really hurt, and they can also pose a significant threat to people who are allergic. It's simple that you recognize their nest or signs of a nest, for example, yellow jackets flying out of a hole, and steer clear. Wasps. Yellow jackets and hornets have a smooth, barbless stinger that doesn't get stuck and pull off, which allows them to sting multiple times. Honeybees do leave stingers behind, so scrape out the stinger with the edge of a knife blade or credit card. Never squeeze the stinger out. With all stings, clean all the area with soap and water, and then apply antibiotic cream and an ice pack. If you're allergic, get medical help immediately. Spiders. What are they? Technically, almost all spiders are venomous, but the vast majority of these arachnids in the United States don't usually pose a serious threat. Tarantulas are found primarily in the Southwest, and their bite can be painful. Black widows are often found under rocks and stumps and are easily identified by their shiny black color and a red hourglass on their underside. Their venom attacks the nervous system, causing pain and muscle spasms. The brown recluse of feedback spider, mainly in the South and Midwest, has a finger of violin shape on its back and is brown with long legs. Outside, they're usually under bark and rock and piles. Their venom breasts down causing large wounds requiring medical care. What to do? Wear gloves when working in places like wood piles where spiders might be. Avoid putting your hands in dark places where you cannot see. When camping, shake out boots and clothing before putting them on again. If you're bitten, wash the air with warm soapy water and apply antibiotic cream and a cold compress. If the bite is from a black widow or brown recluse, or you experience an allergic reaction to severe symptoms to any bite, get medical help immediately. Wise, very wise decision. Learning the ropes. These scouts found challenges to conquer close to home. Here at the bottom of page 18, scouts with Troop 911 of St. Charles, Missouri, tackled the park above Brooks Mouchard navigates the tire swings. Walking along a slack line doesn't look that hard. You're basically balancing on a tightly strung nylon strap only a foot off the ground. And the strap seems wide enough that you could easily place your feet on it. But once you get on the slack line, you realize it's quite a challenge to stay sure-footed. The scouts of Troop 911 of St. Charles, Missouri, had each other to lean on as they tried the slack lines and several other obstacles at a local county park. Everyone got to know each other better. We could learn each other's weaknesses and strengths, and we could play off those, says Life Scout Eva Best, 13. We learned to trust each other more. Work like a team. Missouri Buffs Park, also in St. Charles, features a group camping site and a low ropes course. This course has 10 stations, each with a physical challenge, like balance teams, fire swings, and a wooden climbing wall. Everything was close to the ground, but to stay safe, the scouts wore helmets and asked park officials to guide them through each obstacle. They also served as spotters to make sure their fellow scouts didn't fall. Getting through an obstacle required not only strength but balance, but also strategy and teamwork. It was fun to see how far we could get, says Brooke Mushler, 12, a second-class scout. Some tactics really work for some, but for others, it was just impossible. We had to use a little bit of trial and error. Working together helped them get through each obstacle, the tougher it was to overcome. With teamwork, we could get through anything, says Holly Mushler, 12, a second-class scout. On the trail. The park also connects to the Katy Trail, which runs 240 miles across most of Missouri. It used to be a railroad line, but now people use it for hiking, horseback riding, and bicycling. Troop 911 cycled about 7 miles on the trail before heading back to camp, totaling nearly 15 miles. Before they did, they reviewed cycling safety. We went over hand signals and what they mean so that we could safely ride together and ride around other people, says Star Scout Kyra Landers, age 15. Even on the relatively short stretch of the trail, there was plenty to see. The girls spotted chipmunks and a snake. They also pedaled over a truss bridge and checked out the Missouri River. The troop didn't have to go far from home to create memories. You, too, can find cool places nearby where you live, buy something new, and have a lot of fun. After the camp out, the scouts felt they had bonded, especially many who were new to the troop. At our meetings, people are enjoying it a lot more, says Natalie Williams, 15, a Life Scout. They can go and see their friends, not just people they do scouting with. Here on the top of page 19, Brooke Mushler left and Emerson Wartzel worked together to spot Eva Best center across the sack line. Eva in the middle here, Eva Best leads the troop across a truss bridge during a nearly 15-mile bike hike. And finally on page 19 bottom, Mackenzie Mack moves a beam so she and Emerson Wartzel can cross to the next wooden island. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.